Welcome, everybody. PersonalGrowth.net presents Personal Growth and Positive Psychology Through the Prism of Ancient Jewish Wisdom.
Yes, hi. Welcome. We're going to focus today as a follow-up to the last session on forgiveness is some perspectives on managing anger. How does one control anger? Both in the moment and in terms of dealing with anger in situations where the trigger of the anger is somebody or some situation where one has no control. Let me start with the more general anger at others in terms of the three P's. The three P's stand for pullback, perspective, and planned discussion. Let me start with the pullback response. There's a beautiful quotation from Viktor Frankl, the author of Man's Search for Meaning, the psychiatrist who wrote that magnificent book about his experiences in the concentration camp. And he speaks about the pause between stimulus and response. He says between stimulus in response, there is a space. In that space lies our freedom and power to choose. In those choices lies our growth and our happiness. And I think what Dr. Frankl means is he's talking about how one always does have the ability to occupy the space between the stimulus, the event which makes us upset and makes us angry, in our response to the provocative incident. And how one occupies that space is basically what I want to talk about for a few minutes. So the first P is the pullback. So the pullback allows the space to be occupied by a literal pulling back instead of an immediate kind of animalistic response. In pre-Holocaust Europe, a well-known rabbi, Rabbi Baruch Ber Leibowitz, used to have a special anger hat that he would put on before he'd allow himself to give in to anger at his students. If somebody was in some ways getting him upset, it could have been a family member, it could have been a student in his class, he would, before allowing himself to give in to anger, would go home, rummage through his closet till he found his special anger hat, and only after putting the anger hat on would he go then to the situation that had initially provoked his upset. And obviously by then he was thinking from a much cooler, less impetuous place. It's interesting. We're not saying that one doesn't have a right to be upset and a right be assertive about that which frustrates him or her. There's obviously a place for expression of corrective feedback to a student or for communication to family members. But we're told in psychology that there's two neural pathways for anger. One is the short loop. The short loop is the primitive neural circuitry, interestingly, right behind the nose where the primitive brain lives. And then there's the longer neurological pathway, the longer loop that goes to the frontal prefrontal cortex where more rational thinking lives. If we could only buy the time to go from the shorter loop of the immediate animalistic response, our primitive rage, and through the pullback response, be able to use the longer neurologic circuitry that allows for us to bring in perspective and thought, then much of the destructive force of impulsive expression of anger would be diminished. Turns out that there's some interesting insights in the Hebrew language. The Hebrew word af is one of the words for anger. It's also the Hebrew word for nose. Interestingly, it's behind the nose that this primitive neural circuitry lives, and it's through a few short breaths through the nose, as our mothers used to tell us, that one can often calm down. Using the longer neural circuitry, the term Erech Apayim, which is the Hebrew word for a person who is lower to anger, who has more patience when provoked with anger, is an interesting imagery because it can also be understood to mean the length of the nose, which basically is a beautiful description of going from that shorter neurological pathway to the longer neurological pathway. And I think that the important point is basically that almost always, if we figure out a way to pull back, occupy the space with a pullback, we almost never regret it. It's almost never a wrong decision to wait before sending that angry email, to speculate and to think before giving in to frustration or anger at a child, student, or spouse. I once had an interesting experience. I was speaking to a group of teachers in Canada, and I told the story of Rav Baruch Ber's anger hat. And when later that day I went to speak to a group of teachers in the evening, I'm sorry, a group of parents in the evening in the same community, the teacher in a third grade yeshiva was waiting for me when I came that evening, and he said he had a great story for me. He said he came back from my lecture that evening, that morning, a little bit late. And he walks into his third grade class. He was a little later than he was supposed to be. And one of his students kind of looks at his watch, holds his watch up, and looks at his watch as if to scold his teacher for having been late. So the teacher was very upset. He wanted to give the student, this third-grade kid, a piece of his mind for his impudence, that he would even think of being critical of his teacher. And he told me that he remembered what I had said about Rav Baruch Ber's hat and the pullback response, and he metaphorically put on Rav Baruch Ber's hat. And he waited till recess. Recess comes, and now, from a cooler place, a more studied place, he was going to call the boy over to tell him how inappropriate it was for him to give that implied criticism about his rabbi coming late. And as he was about to call the boy over, the child says, "Rabbi, Rabbi, look at the new watch I got for my birthday." Right? Turns out that he was just with pride trying to show his teacher how excited he was about his new watch. He saved himself from taking what was really an effort at closeness and a totally innocent gesture on the boy's part and totally misunderstanding the situation in a way that would have been destructive to the teacher-student relationship. The second P is the P of perspective. Once one pulls back, a key is to figure out how does one try to see things through the eyes of others? How does one try to put oneself into the shoes of the other and understand where they're coming from? I'm sure many of you have had the experience where once you understand where somebody who would really upset you is coming from, let's say you find out that they treated you in a way that seemed insensitive, but it turns out that maybe it was because you find out later they were struggling with illness, or they were struggling with some other stress in their life that you hadn't known about, or some other piece of information that you were missing. It turns out that almost always trying to see an upsetting situation through the eyes of the person that you're angry at really will diminish your anger. It's interesting. There's a very well-known medrash that speaks about Moshe, the leader of the Jews, takes the Jews out of Egypt, and after the years in the desert, Moses is very nervous about his successor. And he turns to God and he says, how am I going to find a successor who's up to the challenge of understanding the incredibly different perspectives of the 600,000 people who I must lead and who must take my place in leadership? And here's how the Midrash goes. It says, Kishem she'ein partsufo sehen domen zelazeh, just like no two faces among those 600,000 is similar, kach ein datan shoven zelazeh, so too, no two perspectives are similar. Ela, kol echad ve'echad, yeshlo dea b'fnei atzmo. But rather, each one has his own individual perspective. Interesting, because there are those who read and understand this insight and say that we learn from here that there's actually an obligation, a religious obligation, to try to see things through the eyes of others. But a well-known Hasidic rabbi, the Kutzker, has a different take on this insight that in turn gives an even deeper dimension to the second P, the P of perspective. He says, if you're walking down the street and you see somebody whose face looks different than yours, do you get angry at that person? When two people look different from another, one doesn't respond with anger. Walking down the street, if you're bald and you see somebody with a full head of hair, or if you're a man and you see a woman, or you see somebody who looks totally different in appearance from you, it's just not human nature to get angry at somebody whose appearance is different. The Kutzker says, just like one doesn't get upset when two faces look different, when two faces look different from one another, so too one should not get upset when their perspectives are different from one another. So that's the second P, the P of perspective. And the third and final P is actually the P of planned discussion. What that's about is once you've done the pullback and once you've done the actual cognitive exercise of trying to see things through the eyes of others, then the time should be right for a planned discussion to sit down in a calm way to bring an air of curiosity to understanding where the other person is coming from. If two people are willing to sit down and talk things out, then that can make an enormous difference. And that's planned discussion. Planned discussion is where one meets the other in terms of first guideline is to be understood, first understand, is to sit down and try to understand the person, to become curious about where they're coming from, and to try to hear them out. Doesn't mean we'll agree with them, but almost always, when there's mutual listening and one person takes turns listening while the other person takes turns speaking and people and individuals hear each other out, then understanding follows. So that's the end of today's brief thoughts about those three P's. And we'll continue the discussion next time with somewhat of a deeper understanding of how to proceed in a far more complicated case. What happens when you don't have a willing partner? What happens when the person on the other side who you're upset about has no interest in talking to you? And we'll take that up next time. Thank you. Okay, any questions?
Is anger hereditary?
Oh, okay. There clearly, it's like anything else in psychology almost. There's usually a biologic component, maybe even a genetic component, but it's never enough to override one's free will and being able to control it. Some people do have a harder time from the standpoint of temperament. They do have lower frustration tolerances. they are quicker to anger. But that doesn't mean that one can't still control that tendency. It's hard. It's a challenge, but there are many challenges in life. You know, and somebody who has those kinds of challenges, you know, there are these anger management techniques that really can work with hard work.
Thank you for joining PersonalGrowth.net's Personal Growth and Positive Psychology Through the Prism of Ancient Jewish Wisdom by Dr. David Pelkovitz, Ph.D.